Well, hey there. Welcome to another Radio Fishing. And we've got a guest in the chair. We've got a newbie, someone who hasn't experienced the Frankism. Yes, this should be fun, interesting, and exciting. I've known Chuck since he was a little kid, and he's been a fishing guide here since, I think, about 2003. So he's pretty well experienced now. I'm good friends with his dad and family, and I think you're going to like this guy. We're going to talk about tarpon fishing. So anyway, let me get the... There we go. Get that down out of sight. And there we go. Get that. And let's see. Welcome, Mr. Chuck Jenks.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Oh, and the crowd goes crazy. Look at them. Oh, they're so excited. Oh, my goodness. You know, what a great day. What a great day to be in South Florida. And we have a lovely, responsive audience. You know, wave of the hand and they just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's those big applause signs I have in front of the bleachers, you know, yeah. That tells them when to go and not, you know. So anyway, how's it been going? You've been running pretty damn steady here lately.
Yeah, it's been going good. The weather finally started cooperating for us in June. Fish has been good. That's okay. The fish has been good. Fishing pressure's been about normal, and it's been a really good tarpon season since April.
So now, how has it progressed? I mean, what's the difference between April and now for as far as the fishing? What's going on different?
Right. April, we're normally fishing on a normal year up in Charlotte Harbor, right at the mouth of the river, as you know, the 20-foot hole, the Pirate Harbor hole, Burnt Store Marina, right off the marina. This year was a little different. We had a lot of late-season cold fronts, a lot of north wind, a lot of east wind, just a lot of wind in general. So,
ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Boy, April... Yeah. I mean, May was, I think, almost worse than April this
May
year.
May was worse than April. And I did probably 20 days straight in April. And I want to say I only fished in the harbor maybe 5 of those days. The other 15 days I was down in Pine Island Sound just to get away from the wind. As you know, the harbor gets really rough, and Pine Island's a little more shallow, a little more protected. So in order
you
to get...
You can't build as high of waves in 3 feet of water as you can in 20 feet of water.
Right, yeah, exactly. So most of my April fishing was done down in Pine Island, which is an abnormal thing for me personally, but the fishing was good down there. The main difference between April and May and June is, you know, I think the fish we're having April are resident fish coming out of the rivers, and they came out around last week of March, and we were able to fish them for about 5 days.
Yeah, it was real quick. It was like, okay, they're here, now what do we do?
Yeah.
It's you got to be pretty creative to stay on the tarpon. What's going on right now? Is it how's the bite going on?
Right now the bite's good. What we got now, we're just coming off the first full moon here in June, so a lot of those fish are leaving every day to go out and spawn, but they're coming back. A group will leave every day and a group will come back every day. So what's going on is sometimes you'll come out.
It's kind of like a house party in the 60s, you know. You get one group going and then another group coming back. Or I should say the 70s, yes.
Yeah, so... if you're somebody who likes to fish Boca Grand Pass and you come out into Boca Grand Pass at 6 in the morning expecting to see a lot of tarpon and you just don't see them, you know, don't get discouraged. Just run up the beach a little bit because maybe those fish are coming back in from offshore and their first area that they come to is normally right off the lighthouse, right off the beach. And then they'll filter back into the pass throughout the day with the tide.
Well, right now we've been telling guys, take crabs with you, try and find thread fins, find mm-hmm. as many different types of baits as you can, take a couple of jigs with you if you're going to be in, because when they get up in the pass, it's too hard to fish anything else because there's so many people coming and going, you can't have your line out away from the boat.
Right.
Just easy to drop one on and just do it that way. But you've got, coming up in the morning, I think what's happening a lot right now is tarpon are notoriously skittish when lightning hits. They like to go deep water when lightning. And we've been getting some tremendous storms almost every night. I mean, they're not hitting until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. But somewhere overnight, I mean, there's a lot of lightning going on.
Oh, yeah, there's a...
I wonder if that's kind of as much as the spawn, pushing those fish off, and then they're showing up sometime in the morning, you know, coming along the beach, then heading into the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like after that, are they going back out to the beach, or are they coming up on the hill?
Well, what I've personally been seeing is the... First thing in the morning, there'll be one or two big schools of fish between the lighthouse and old concrete dock. And it's not, when I say a school of fish, it's every fish in that should be in Boca Grand Pass is out there, and it's 5,000, 6,000 fish. Now, when the boats get on them, that like the sun comes up, the sharks get on them, they freak out a little bit. Some of them stay out on the beach and some will move up into the pass. Now, if they're going up on the hill, I don't know because I've been staying up on the beach. I've seen quite a few boats stay right into the pass, so I'd have to think that they're staying for the most part in the pass right now, which is a good thing. That's kind of probably where they should be. And then, you know, the other half of the fish are just staying right off of the beach, and, you know, they're staying anywhere from 12 to 20 feet of water, and the best bet there is just throwing crabs or thread fins, whatever you can get.
Now, what technique are you using? I've talked to a couple of guys. Some guys trying to get in front of the school. Some mm-hmm. guys are getting up behind them, on side of them, mm-hmm. or anchoring up and waiting for them. What's your technique?
Well, it depends. And it depending on the fish and pressure, you may not be able to fish how you want to fish because guys might be on the fish before you. So you might generally like to fish in front of the fish, but then you get stuck fishing on the side of the fish because there's already three boats on some of these big schools, and you're kind of odd man out until somebody hooks up. What I like to do is, in my theory is, you know, the fish, they eat from their mouths. So if you're casting at their tails, you're generally not going to get a bite. I like to, if the fish are moving one particular direction, if they're moving north up the beach, I like to stay on the south side of them, keep my boat in front of them, and keep my baits in front of them as long as you can, because they don't bite all day. So you're fishing for maybe five bites a day, or a trip, I should say.
And five bites, almost really about a bite an hour.
Right, on a 6-hour trip. On a 6-hour trip, you know, if you can get anywhere from 3 to 5 fish hooked, I'd say that's probably average, and you're doing pretty good for yourself. And if you can keep your baits.
Well, that's doing actually really good, because I can tell you, I know of several boats out there, and I'm not going to say anything about bigger boats or smaller mm-hmm. boats, but I know several that go out, and they're lucky right now if they're hooking 3 a week.
Yeah, yeah. It you just, know, you know,
so
you really,
you're doing 3 or 4 a trip. That's yeah. really outside the box. That's doing really good right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yesterday I fished the same guys 10 hours, and I kind of break my 10-hour trips up between 6 a.m. and noon, then go have lunch, and then basically 1 p.m. till about 5. And the morning trip, we hooked 4 fish. We lost them all, but we did end up hooking 4. And I got one down by boat. Actually, take it back, 5. We got one at Boca Grande, and the fish weren't really acting like they were going to start feeding, because we got down there at 5:45 in the morning, found the fish, and got one bite on them by 6:15. And normally those fish, you know, after 6, you know, 6:30, if they're not eating at 6:30, they're generally not going to start eating at 8:30. So I left, and I actually ended my morning basically within sight of the Venice Pier. So
wow, that's a long ways
out.
It's
a long ways out. Yeah. A lot of gas was burned.
That's a lot of gas.
But some days, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And the sharks, you know, those sharks are out there, and you can see them circling the tarpon. And so you got boats, you got sharks, you got lightning, bad weather, you got a lot of factors working against you. So sometimes you got to just move.
Keep on going. Yeah.
And
going up, heading along the beach like that's a really good idea, because mm-hmm. you're changing your weather patterns.
Yeah.
People don't realize that Venice is only, what, about 30 miles?
It's about 30 miles from Boca Grande.
About 30 miles from Boca Grande Pass. But that's a whole different climate some days.
Yeah.
You could be sitting in Venice in 6-foot seas and be calm and still in Boca.
Yeah.
And vice versa. There could be thunderstorms all over Little Gasparilla Pass, and you go up one more pass, and it's nice and sunny.
Yeah.
In Florida, every couple hundred yards, the weather can change.
Yeah.
It
can be the difference between 5 miles could be night and day, or thunderstorm or no thunderstorm. And that's how I found those fish, was one day last week. There were some storms in Boca Grande. So I fished north of Gasparilla Pass, and they moved to Gasparilla Pass. So then I went to Stump Pass, and they moved to Stump. And I just kept getting pushed north, and finally I could fish, and I found those fish up there, and I went back to them yesterday, and it worked out for me. So
that's
I knew
great.
That it was kind of a crapshoot, you know, getting pushed by that weather that day, but it ended up working out for us.
Well, as usual, if you click Chuck's picture, it will take you right to his website with all his contact info. But do you have a name of your charter business?
It's catchfloridatarpon.com. That's the name of my business. That's the name of my website. It's all right
there.
That's
good. Yeah. You got a phone number people can call?
Yeah, phone number 239-825-8791.
239-825-8791.
8791.
8791. Yep. Okay. Just want to make sure we get those little tidbits in there, you know. So, now, what's going on when you get out? You're going out chasing crabs and thread fins, usabiki, cast net? What are you doing to get your bait?
Well, I get my crabs. I buy my crabs, my blue crabs, and you got to have...
From Fishing Franks.
From Fishing Franks, absolutely. So you buy your blue crabs at Fishing...
It's a secret.
You buy your blue crabs at Fishing Franks, and then what you want to do with your blue crabs, they don't need water to live. Put them in a bucket, a five-gallon bucket, and then put that bucket inside your house so they stay cool and they won't die. And what I do is, and some people may do it different, but I start my trips at 5:30 in the morning because I like to find the fish as, either before the sun comes up or right as the sun comes up. Because that's the best bite for the morning. And it always has been. It probably always will be. But you got to have bait.
There is something spectacular about being there and all of a sudden launching a 6-foot fish up in the air with the sun coming up. And it's usually calm right about then.
Yeah.
So it's just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, here all of a sudden, boom, up, fish on. And the hookups go in and the fish is skyrocketing. He's 6 foot of fish. He's anywhere from 3 to 10 feet up in the air. Get the big splash down. You're at the same time going, bow to the king, bow to the king. Get that rod tip down, rod tip down.
Yeah, and sometimes...
Yelling like a madman.
Sometimes it works out and they'll catch the fish. And sometimes it comes off. But the great thing about fishing in the morning, those fish have been... pretty calm and they've been left alone overnight, so you can get a good half hour, 45 minutes worth of catching on them, and then sun comes up 7 o'clock and turns back into fishing.
Now, when I was doing a lot of charters, I'd get out there in the morning and kind of doing similar things, not quite the same, but I'd have a couple guys in the boat, and quite often all of a sudden we got two fish on. And what was your, when you get two fish, okay, what goes through your mind? You got two fish, one's 150 pounds, one's 180 pounds, you got two guys hooked up, what goes through your head as a captain?
Well, my day's going good. When that happens, that's the first thing that goes through my head. But the second thing is, you know, if the fish are, what they'll try to do is stay in the school, so hopefully both fish are running the same direction. If one runs the opposite of the other fish, then you just gotta hope that he doesn't rip off more than 300 yards of line, and you can try to follow one and follow the bigger one, and the smaller one you try to stop, and if you can stop them, great. If not, then
I used to just say, okay, first one breaks off, we'll follow the other one.
Exactly.
There ain't nothing else you can do.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing you're gonna do to stop a
150 pound fish. There's no magic way of unbuckling the boat and okay, the front of the half boat follows this fish, the other part of the boat, and I mean.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you're like me, but I never got them to run in the same direction. It was always one headed north and one headed south, and I just sit there and go, okay, guys, do the best you can.
And there's, like you said, those tarpon are in control at that point, so you're just
nothing you can do anyway but hold on and hope. But I just figured I'd put you on the spot and see, okay, that's a tough question.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well, it also is when that happens first thing in the morning, that's kind of a little bit of a stress reliever for me. Because the people have already gotten what they've paid for within the first half hour sometimes.
The worst thing ever was we had two fish hooked up, and they both went in the same direction. Then they decided to crisscross, and they went over each other's lines. We literally had, once one of them came off, we were bringing it up, and I had to tape the line to the other line to reel it up on the reel, because it was at least, I would say, 100 yards of two lines tangled together.
Oh, wow.
And so the hook was probably somewhere, ended up being almost down by the other leader, and the two of them had just sit there and gone around and around each other, and it was just one big long braided mess.
Yeah,
it was a nightmare. Well, this was back when it was monofilament. I was using 30-pound mono back then, and that was a tough day. But luckily, I had a little bit of black tape, and I just taped the end of the one that was tangled to the other one to it, and we just use it as a single line.
Yeah, and when that happens, not only are the people getting a good fishing trip, they're getting a good story too, because to see your captain do that for you and pull it off, is those people won't forget that.
Oh yeah, somebody said, because we just did the last Fishing Frank Shark Sail Catch Stingray Tournament.
Congratulations, and by the way, on a successful 29 year run.
I'm going to miss the money. That was a lot of money. I mean, we made $2.80 in entry fee, so that was just to help pay for the extra payroll. But during the course of the 2 weeks prior, you know, the rod and reels getting hooked up, the line, the hooks, the leader material, all that stuff. And yeah, I'm going to miss that. That was a nice kick for June. But, you know, you can't think about money all the time. You got to think about what's the right thing to do. So, you know, I just said farewell to that money and farewell to the tournament because it was the right thing to do. Yeah. No research, no reason.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to, if the sharks aren't being killed for a reason, there's no reason to do it.
Right.
And one guy's having a real bad day today because he got lazy, dumped his shark on the side of the road. We mark all the sharks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, Marine Patrol called us up. We got a shark on the side of the road. It's got this, you know, Roman numerals on it. Yeah. Any idea what that means? I said, well, give me a minute. And I called and called him back. I said, yeah, it's so-and-so. He lives at such-and-such. Here's his name, address, phone number. Why would you do that with a shark that has a mark on it, for God's sake?
He'll be getting a visit from somebody.
Oh, he already did.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've got the calls ready, So, you know, but there's always a couple like that.
Yeah.
But goes along with my, if you're going to kill it, you need to eat it.
Yeah.
If you're not going to eat it, why you, don't kill it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, so, yeah, but that one's over, and how is your June booking wise on tarpon? You have a couple of days left.
I do. I have
two or three, I think.
I have about five. The last 5 days of the month are open for me, which has been a good.
You only
June.
Got those 5 days, and you kick right back in July.
Right,
you're
July
1st, booked.
Basically, yeah. July 1st through about July 10th is every day's booked. It's gonna, you know, which is good for me for July. And June's been good. But I do have 5 days open from I want to say the 23rd through the end of the month are all wide open.
All right. Now, you're using, how long is your boat?
24 feet.
Okay. Shallow, it's a
Ranger Bay boat.
Yeah, you can go real skinny or take nice rough water. The one thing I like about Ranger, they don't run as skinny as I'd like them to.
Right.
But boy, when you're in rough water, Rangers ride nice.
Yeah, it's
they
it's
really
a nice
do.
Boat.
Yeah, they don't. They've got kind of a big bunt on them. Their bum is a little big, and so when you're going across the shallows, it wants to drag a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
it's a little give and take, but I'd rather be comfortable when those afternoon storms flare up in Boca Grande Pass.
That's exactly what I was getting to. Yeah. I'd rather be riding that Ranger tarpon fishing than I would a flats boat.
Oh yeah,
straight out flats boat that Ranger really takes some nice. It rides good in that rough water.
Yeah.
You don't get pounded and trashed.
Yeah,
but what I know you use star rods and you got you got what quantum reels
yeah,
what size reels are you using?
I use the Quantum 80s and I spool those with the Suffolk 65 pound, it's just a light green braid to a 60 pound fluorocarbon leader, and I attach that to a 6-aught 4x strong Gamagatsu circle hook.
Now how many, you're using what, about 300 yards ish of line on each one?
Each one holds three. I came in here, I don't know, one day a couple weeks ago after a trip, and you had a 1,200 yard spool, and that filled up four reels in the spools. I came in here today to get more, and it's all gone.
yeah, it's, I got to tell you, how long, I mean, because you run a lot of tarpon. I mean, you're hooking up anywhere from, let's say, on a moderate day, 2-3 fish up to 10, 15, 20 fish a day.
Yeah.
How long do you get out of the line? How many fish do you think you get out of a 65-pound test?
I don't know how long. What I do is I only re-spool my reels when it gets hard to cast. So probably when about 75 yards of line is taken off that reel to tie new knots or to string it out to get some little chase
out
of
it.
So
you do it by as your spool gets
too far down,
you can't cast.
Right, because very rarely are you going to have a tarpon rip off 200 yards of line. Normally those initial runs, when they're jumping two or three times that initial run, they might pull off 50 yards of line. But the problem is, and the water's super clear out there, you got to make a long cast, and when that line gets down to that spool where you can't cast,
yeah, 30 50, yards of line
right.
cast plus another 50 to 100 on the first run, so you know, so you're looking at 130-150, and then if two people get hooked up and you've got to sit there and wait, 300 yards goes out in not a lot of time.
It goes out fast, but you know, that line that you sell here, it lasts. I mean, that braided line lasts for a long time. But
well, it's made out of Kevlar. I try and tell people, don't replace it until you have to.
Right.
If you start having a problem, like it's not casting far enough and you're too low, you got to replace it when you lose a little too much, or if it starts to break. But that could be months, years, or decades before you have a problem with it.
Yeah. And to put another little plug in for you, Fish and Frank, I came in probably the last week of March, early April, with all my new reels, and you said, you know, I told you I wanted high-vis yellow on all of them. And you said, well, how many reels do you have already with high-vis yellow? I said, well, all of them. And you said, well, here, try three different colors and see, just to try something different, see if, if you're not getting bites, try a different color spool. And, you know, that the one that you put on with that that suffix, that green, that light green, has been my go-to, and I don't have yellow anymore. I got all green, which
but
I'm
see,
sure
no,
you're...
I wouldn't do that.
Well,
you're
I know, I know.
You're really making a mistake. But, you got to keep that yellow.
Yeah.
Because you always want one hot stick.
Right.
And I've got Tracer on one, which is dark green and light green together, and kind of looks like the bullet tracers as it you cast it out. Then I've got yellow on another one. I got white on one. I mean, I mix and match every rod with a different color because I never know which one's going to go hot.
Right, right.
And I like with you that suffix is some amazing line.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna put Berkeley on one. I might have yellow Power Pro on one. I might have the Berkeley Invisibraid, the white on one. I'm going to mix and match it. I'm a big believer in that. Just like you found out, that green's going good right now, but in a week,
it
that
might
could change.
Turn. Yeah,
as
could.
Soon as the rain stops, there might be a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Or when the rain starts. I mean, you know, the river's almost 5 feet in Arcadia right now.
5 feet above?
Well, 2 foot is your kind of break mark.
Yeah.
When you're seeing, you go on fishandfranks.com, mm-hmm. weather and tides, at the bottom of that page, you click the Peace River button. At the bottom of there is a height measurement in Arcadia. And under 2 feet, we have virtually no fresh water flowing at us. Over 2 feet, exponentially more.
Yeah.
And it's hitting 5 feet right
now.
So that's a 3 foot wall of fresh water coming to us.
It's not here yet, but I guess it's going to be here soon.
It's coming
now. Is it at your house right now?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of fresh water at the house.
Well, when I say it's not here yet, it's not, it hasn't reached Boca Grande yet.
No.
But it's coming.
But it's there's so much fresh water coming down now. I heard it's 11 or 14 up past Wachula. I mean, there's a lot of water going to be coming down that river.
And we got the Myakka, too.
And the Myakka. Yeah. I haven't checked the Myakka recently. Yeah. But with the Peace River, that's kind of my gauge on how much fresh water. So everything's going to change here in a little while.
Yeah.
Over the next week, if that water doesn't drop back down, if we get a few more of these afternoon overnight rains, it's come up 3 feet in the last 4 days.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of water coming down and getting higher still. It's still on the way up.
Yeah.
So that's why when we're talking about all these colored lines, I always caution the guys, you know, it's neat because I agree with you. I love the color of that suffix.
Yeah.
It's got a great... And I think in that kind of green water you're fishing in out there, I think that's why it's working so
good.
And if you're staying in Venice until this rain hits, I think it's going to continue to be your number one. But if all of a sudden you end up having to fish the harbor, it might be a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be up in the harbor about the second week of July. So
usually,
maybe I'll be switching lines again.
Well, I wouldn't switch. I'd only switch one or two.
Yeah,
we can spool your old line on another spool so you don't have to lose it.
Yeah.
I always have a couple extra spools. We'll spool that up on something so you don't have to lose it. It's too much money to replace
it. Oh, yeah, it's expensive.
We'll save that, and then when you need it again for the other water, you've got that.
Yeah.
You can kind of go back and forth. But my ideal thing is always having at least two colors, so that way I know what's going hot.
Yeah.
I'm reordering a bunch of the pink line because, believe it or not, pink was my number one color for 3 months. I outfished every other color I had.
Oh, wow.
But I would have never believed it because I would have thought pink line too bright, no way it's going to work. But that's what really got me started on the hunt for the what was going to be the good color. And I found out there is no good color. There is no bad color. It's good for right now and then okay for this time and then great for now and then good. I think they all do okay.
Yeah.
But finding that one that's really hot, and that's what I found over the course of over a year, different colors, different times of year. It seemed like every time it'd rain or stop raining or cloud cover, you know, all of a sudden one color would start going off.
Yeah.
And I know the leader's not supposed to make it so there's not a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does.
But it does. I mean, you how many feet are you casting? 60?
Probably 80? Probably 100? A 60-foot cast. Well, you know, if I'm casting, you know, I can cast it 70 feet if I have
to.
But if my customers are casting,
if
you've
got a decent thread fin, I bet you your casts are going to be closer to 100.
You think so?
I weighed all the past crabs. We had a whole load of past crabs come in. average weight on a past crab's 1/2 ounce.
Gotcha.
So I took 40 pound, and you're using that star, that 8 foot.
Yeah, I've used star and my main rods are the Terramar and
Terramar
and star, both of them.
Yeah, I saw you had a couple stars on the counter.
Yeah.
I took an 8 foot star, 25 pound, and I was with 40 pound Invisibrate and a 1/2 ounce sinker. Mm-hmm. I was throwing 100 to 105 feet.
Yeah.
So you're probably throwing a little further because you cast like I do. You know, you really get those zingers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And believe it or not, 100 to 105 feet with a pass crab. Thread fin's a little heavier, but it does have more wind resistance. Yeah.
And then you add a cork to it, then, you know, then it's a different ball
game. Slow it down a little bit. Yeah.
But that and
you're going to try the casting bubbles.
The what?
Casting bubbles.
I don't know what the casting
bubble is. Okay. A casting bubble is a water-fillable bobber. And when it's in the air, it's very, very heavy. But when it hits the water, if you leave air in it, it becomes a bobber. If you fill it completely full of water, it's neutral.
Huh.
And it allows me to get a lot of extra casting distance. I used to be a fly fishing guide out west in the Rockies and all that, doing all the mountains and streams. And we used them there because I'm not a prude. When it's better to fish with a spinning rod, I fish with a spinning rod. When it's better to fish with a fly rod, I fish a fly rod.
Right.
Bait caster, whatever. I use the best tool for the job. I don't have a preference. I want what I think is best to catch fish with. So we would be on a lake, and I could take my spinning rods, which these people had never seen anything like this back in the late 80s, early 90s. I was using all the best cross-wrapping, long-cast guide stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I could flick my wrist with a casting bubble and make a 130-foot cast with no problem.
Yeah.
And they're throwing Zebco 202s on the beach. You know what I mean? It's like, they're just not doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so, anyway, you've been having a lot of fun doing tarpon fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
Any trips stand out in your mind?
Oh, you know what? Yesterday's trip stands out in my mind just for the simple fact that I wasn't...
It was yesterday.
Yeah. So, it's fresh in my head. But, no, the reason yesterday's trip kind of stands out in my mind was I was fishing a hill tide, and I wasn't in Boca Grande Pass. I'm going to kind of keep where I was secret because it was yesterday.
Fine.
But it's the first time... in probably 3 or 4 years that I've known it's happened here and there, but not a lot. But it's the first time in probably 3 or 4 years I've personally seen tarpon by the thousands come up and slurp crabs off of the surface at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, normally that's kind of what we used to see, you know, 10 years ago. But now with, you know, added boat pressure and the way the fish are acting, it just doesn't happen a lot. So yesterday was kind of special. I only hooked one fish out of them. And it was a very large fish, but it was cool just to see them slurp crabs right behind the boat without a care in the world. And it was cool to not have to see that at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You got to see it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's kind of a promising sign for the next couple of days.
Oh, man, it gets really exciting.
Yeah,
You know, the only thing about it is, I think one of the reasons you don't catch, when all these fish, and they're coming up, and they're just pounding these baits all on the surface right behind the boat, I think your adrenaline gets up so high, I don't think you fish them like you would if it was one or two, and I think you would catch more fish, but I think the adrenaline, I mean, you're human.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
and it, you know, I've experienced it, so I knew what to expect. My customers, they were new people, they've never fished tarpon ever before, they've never fished with me before, and... It was a Father's Day trip, and the son was 19, and he wanted to cast at every single fish that he saw come up and gulp a crab. I said, man, you just got to cast. We were using corks. We're in 8 feet of water.
Right.
We were using corks. I said, you just got to throw up tight of them and let it drift back to them. I said, if you throw at every fish you see, all you're doing is going to be casting the whole night. And
if it's in the air, it ain't in the water.
Exactly. And, you know, it was, you know, the dad got it, but the son, 19 years old, you know, he's eager, and he wanted to catch one. Really, his dad had already caught one earlier in the day, so he was ready to get his. And
but that's what I say. I think he would have caught more fish if there wouldn't have been so many. It's such a visual overload,
yeah,
and your brain goes into, okay, cast, I gotta do this,
You know,
and
these guys were bass fishermen, so you can imagine they get a kick out of seeing a 5 pound bass eat a top water lure. Now you're throwing in 150 to 200 pound tarpon eating a crab on the surface 3 or 4 feet from your boat, and you're seeing it over and over and over.
And if you've ever seen a bass hit like a jitterbug or a popper, and that amazing suction, picture that literally what is it, 10, 15 times bigger.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's and, crazy.
They come up and eat that crab and leave a huge boil in the water, and then they're gone, and they come back and get another one. But it was really cool to see.
Well, anyway, I know you got to get going, and I've got to get going here. And it was great having you, Chuck. Once again, tell people the name of your business.
Yep, catchfloridatarpon.com. You can find that on the web, or you can call me at 239-825-8791.
And if you have any, if you don't remember all that, don't worry about it. Click his picture right next to the radio program here, and that'll take you right to his website. And it was great having you, Chuck.
Frank, it was great to be here.
And this is Fish and Frank, and we'd like to say thank you. We were checking last year, and I've been looking it up, do all the stuff you can do to find out who's going on, and we've been averaging about 10,000 people a month listening to our show. We were hit a high of 16,000 for a while, then I guess we sucked for a little while because somebody quit listening, but we've been holding steady at about 10,000. We appreciate it. We got a new show coming up. You're going to be able to listen to us on the radio in Boston, Fairbanks, Alaska, Texas, Arizona, all over the place, Phoenix. I mean, we get a really neat season coming up for you, and we'll be doing no shows here with Radio Fishing also. So anyway, Fishing Frank here, and in the chair across me was Captain Chuck Jenks, and we'll see you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.